Hallelujah. This morning, I was praying to see what the Lord had me share with you. And I just want to share a little bit differently than what we normally do. I want to encourage you to take notes if you can on something. I didn't get there in time to tell them to leave a place for notes in your bulletin. And so take notes wherever you can. But we want to share some things as I was praying about it. I wanted to take a pause from our regular series that we've been dealing with. And I wanted to deal with some other things today in the little bit time we have. And I'd like you to begin, if you would, by opening your Bibles. Open your Bibles, if you don't mind, to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Praise God. We're not going to take a lot of your time today. We're not going to even have you turn very much today, but we're going to have you turn for the first two verses of Scripture, and then we'll see about it after that. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, hallelujah, that's where we're going to begin. Praise God. And before we read, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the Word of God today. And Father God, we thank you the Word of God is full of life. We thank you, Father God, for hungry hearts and good ground, Father God, that those hearts will receive the Word as seed, Father God, that will be planted and watered and bring forth fruit in our lives, Father God. We thank you for the anointing, the empowerment. We thank you for the unction of the Holy Ghost upon us in order to hear the Word of God, in order to speak the Word of God. We thank you, Father, it's not by our own might nor by our own power, but it's by your Spirit that this will be accomplished, Father God. We thank you that there'll be no distractions. We thank you for just a touch of heaven, even the touch of your Holy Spirit upon the word spoken today. And we thank you that faith will rise in our hearts as we hear it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, praise God. Matthew's Gospel, the eighth chapter, or the ninth chapter, rather, begin with verse 18. And let's just read here. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 18. It reads this way. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came. Are you with me? While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood, she was hemorrhaging and had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, everybody say, said to herself. She said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. She spoke to herself and said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall, not maybe will, but she said, I shall be made well or shall be healed. Verse 22, but Jesus turned around and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Notice what it says. Jesus speaking. He says, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith. Everybody say, faith. Your faith has made you well. Now, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. We'll not take time to read this verse in context, but it applies, and you can do that at your own discretion. But in Romans chapter 10, very short verse, verse 17, very familiar to many of us, but in Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul says, by the Spirit of God, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's just say that together. Your translation might be different, but you can probably remember the way I said it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One more time. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we understand from that verse of Scripture, and based on what we read about the woman with the issue of blood, that faith is an important ingredient in order to receive healing in our bodies. Is that not right? And then also with that, the way our faith increases or the way our faith is built up is by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so again, as I was seeking the Lord, I felt impressed of Him to just help you hear the Word of God pertaining to healing today. You know, we just celebrated the Lord's table and we understand that the bread symbolizes Jesus' broken body that was broken for us that we might be made well, that we might be healed. that we might have relational situations healed as well, because we're the body of Christ. Amen? And we understand that, that the bread was broken, symbolizing the fact that His body was broken so that our physical body might be made whole. His blood was shed in order so that we might be forgiven of our sins, that they might be washed away. Amen? And so let's just expound a little bit on this idea of healing in the little bit of time that we have. And I've titled this message, Why Healing is the Will of God. Why healing? We're talking about physical healing. Why healing is the will of God. And you know, one of the things that we understand is, as we say so often, and I even mentioned it in praying this morning, the Word of God is likened unto a seed. And as we plant seed, we put it into good ground, preferably, right? But would you agree with me that any seed that's put in good ground still needs to be watered? Isn't that right? And so this morning, maybe we'll be planting some seed of the Word of God in our hearts in order to receive healing in our bodies. But in other cases, we'll be watering seed that maybe we've already had planted. We've already heard about healing. We've already heard it, but it needs to be watered in our lives. And so my purpose today is to plant in some hearts and to water in other hearts in order so that we might get a harvest of healing in our bodies that Jesus bought and paid for. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so I want to just preface it also by saying this. My purpose today is not to try to explain to you why not everybody receives healing in their body. We understand that not everybody receives healing. But you know what? Our faith and our theology should never be based. Listen now. Our faith and our theology should never be based on our experience or our lack of experience. Our faith and our theology needs to be based on the Word of God. Amen. And I, like you, have not seen enough people receive healing. Thank God I've seen some. I've seen my wife healed. I've seen my son healed. I've received healing from my back. I've received healing, but I've not seen it like I want to see it. And I'm sure all of you could testify the same. And there's a whole lot of reasons why, and some reasons we know from the Word, other reasons we don't know from the Word of God. But our faith and our theology needs to be based on the Bible. And if we ever back off, and that's why the church in history backed off. They didn't see enough healing, and so they began to say, well, maybe it's not always the will of God. And there was a slow digression, where eventually the church became more powerless and powerless, and they had no miraculous healings taking place. And the church, I'm talking about the church in history, the church worldwide, became a dead religious form instead of a living, relational, life-giving faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we never want to back off from the truth. We don't have all the answers as to why people don't always receive, but we do know that it's always God's will to heal. And it's upon that platform, it's upon that plank of truth that we will stand. And I would rather stand on that plank of truth and get some healing than not have it there at all and have no healing at all. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I believe God's going to help us, and we're going to see more and more about these things. Now, another part of that is this, and you can write these scriptures down if you'd like to. We also want to remember this, that it's never promised in the Word of God that we're going to live forever, except when Jesus comes. Our spirit, of course, is going to live forever if we're born again. But when Jesus comes, our bodies will be resurrected, then we'll live physically forever. But on this earth, in this age, it's never promised we're going to live forever, right? He promises in Psalm 91 and verse 16 that with long life, for those that have set their love upon Him, with long life they'll be satisfied. But we also know that only really we can believe for 70 years up to 80 years, and anything more than that is a bonus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because in Psalm 90 and verse 10, it says that He's given men 70 years and by reason of strength 80. And everything beyond that's just a bonus. Praise God. Amen? But you know, God's best is never, no matter how old we are, God's best is not that we die sick. I believe God, I'm going to just breathe my last breath healthy and go home and be with Him. Amen? The patriarchs of old, many of them did that, did they not? Amen? And so we've got to understand some of that as well. But let's look at some things. and most of which we're going to look for and look at, you're going to be seeing on the PowerPoint. So I just want you to watch up there, write down scriptures if you can. We're going to go through this fast, and then we're going to build faith, and then we're going to have some prayer for healing. That be all right today? All right, first of all, 11 reasons. Everybody say 11. I've got 11 points and only a little time. But we're not going to have to expound a whole lot on some of this. We're going to get through this, and it's going to build you up. 11 reasons why healing is the will of God. Number one, next frame, God's name is healer. Everybody say healing is in God's name. You'll notice here in Exodus 15 and verse 26, it says this, it says, and said, God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Also known as, you can see in the small writing, Jehovah Rapha. That's part of His redemptive names. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord who heals you. Someone said, well, He's talking to Israel, not to us. I submit to you that you have a better covenant than Israel. And if healing was under that covenant and not under ours, then that covenant's better than ours. And that is contradictory to the Word of God. If healing was for Israel, healing is even more so for the church of Jesus Christ. If healing was for His servants, is not healing even more so for His sons and daughters? All right? And so God's name is healer. In fact, we can also say this, the name Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Savior, which means deliverer, healer, one who sets free. The word or the name Jesus itself includes every aspect of salvation, which includes healing. Christ means anointed. And so Jesus Christ means the anointed Savior or the anointed healer. And so Jesus Christ's name includes healing. There's healing in His name. And so when we invoke the name of Jesus in prayer concerning healing, we're invoking the name healing, aren't we? We're invoking the healer's name and putting faith in that name. All right, next frame. Let's go on with this. Number two, God healed in Old Testament days. Some examples, Genesis 20 and verse 17. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. Numbers 21:9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And of course, we know from John chapter 3 that is a symbol. That serpent was a symbol of Christ becoming sin for us. And as we gaze on Christ, we too are delivered and set free and healed. Amen. All right, go to the next frame if you would. Notice now Naaman, 2 Kings 5:14. This is under God healed in Old Testament days. So Naaman the leper went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman, a Syrian. Here, it wasn't even an Israelite. Here, Naaman wasn't even a covenant man. But out of God's mercy, out of God's love and compassion, He even healed a man who was a Syrian general named Naaman, because Naaman did what the word of the Lord said to do, and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and he was made well. And so really, even the argument about, you know, Israel had healing, and that's not for us. What about Naaman? He wasn't an Israelite, was he? In many ways, Syria were enemies of Israel as well. And yet Naaman was healed by the mercy and compassion of Almighty God. Next slide, number three. First of all, God's name is healer. Number two, God healed in Old Testament days. Number three, God promised healing through His prophets. Notice Moses is an example. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. And so God's promise to covenant people is what? That He will take sickness away from you. Sickness is a curse. And I submit to you, sickness is an enemy of God. Amen. as well as an enemy of ours. Notice now David, and these patriarchs believed in healing. Notice David believed in healing, a healing God. He said in Psalm 103, 1 through 5, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals some of your diseases." Good, you're paying attention. "Who heals all your diseases." Now let me say this to you. He's not talking about simply forgiveness, is he? A lot of people, tradition will say, well, he heals us from sin. No, this is talking about physical diseases, isn't it? In his context, there's no question about it. He forgives all our iniquities. Thank God for forgiveness. He heals all our diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Say, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Why? Because he's the forgiver, he's the healer, he's the redeemer, isn't he? And in his forgiveness, healing, and redemption, there is youthfulness no matter how old we get. Thank God. I'm so glad that I look as young as a 25-year-old. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we let you have the second row. Praise God. Amen. Let's go on to the next one. Psalm 107, 20 and 21, this is David, inspired by the Lord. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And what is his goodness in this context? His goodness is healing. His wonderful works is healing. He sent his word and healed. And that's what I'm attempting to do today, is give you his word, because within his word is healing. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm just going to pause there for a minute. You know, my son, I won't go into detail, but my son went for his physical, I don't know, last fall or whatever, and they had hinted on this problem before, and they went to the physical, regular general practitioner, and the general practitioner referred him to a specialist. And so, you know, we were, in the natural concerned about it, but we just prayed for him, believed God, and declared in Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, he's healed. Took him to a specialist. The specialist says, well, he's got to have surgery. And, and all of this, and wanted to hook him up, wanted to get him an appointment right away, because the specialist was going to be deployed to Iraq and do medical work in Iraq. And so we've got to plan this surgery right away. But how many of you have ever had somebody say something to you, whether it be a doctor or other, just didn't settle right on the inside of you? Anybody at all? And so, you know, that just didn't settle right on the inside of me. And so we, through a process of time, decided, well, we're going to get another opinion. And we still believe in God and saying by the stripes of Jesus, he's healed. He's not going to have this trouble. He's not going to have this in Jesus' name. And so we had another physician look at him. And this physician said, well, you know, maybe a little problem there. I don't know, but I'm going to send you to somebody that's even a greater physician at Albany Med who specializes only in this. Amen. And so now we've got what? We've got a general practitioner's opinion. He says, it looks like there's a problem. One specialist says there's a problem. Another doctor who specializes in that and other things, urologist or whatever, says there's a problem. Then we're going to the Grand Poobah at Albany Med. And we're still believing God. We're trusting the Lord. We go there, and the man comes in, and he just does a quick examination. He says he doesn't even have to look hardly. He just looks immediately and says, you know what? There's no problem. He's perfectly normal. Just go ahead, and he's well. Amen. 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 Well, you know, that is one of two things. I choose to believe that he was healed by the power of God. Amen. On the other hand, you could also think this. There's a lot of incompetence that you need to be aware of. Amen. And you know, get another opinion and maybe another one. Find one that'll agree with you. They're healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But the Grand Poobah confirmed God's word. Amen. Next frame. Going on with the Old Testament promises of healing. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Solomon said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? What are? The word of God. Why? For they, the words of God, being he was inspired by God, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Goes along with he sent his word and healed them. Amen? Amen. Next frame. Malachi, Malachi 4 and verse 2, New Living Translation. But for you who fear my name, how many of you have the fear of the Lord today? Reverential awe and respect for God. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. He's talking about healing, isn't he? Same God. Old Testament promises. Old Testament promises. Praise God. Let's go on from here. Let's look at the next thing. Next frame. Number four, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Let's go to the 1 John 3:8. Notice what it says. It says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy. The word destroy means to undo, to untie, and to loose it. And so for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might untie, undo, and loosen the works of the devil from those who put their faith in Christ. Now look at the next frame. Luke 13 and verse 16, it speaks of the woman that was bound and bent over for 18 years. She had what that passage says in its context, a spirit of sickness, a spirit of infirmity. You know, there are foul, unclean spirits or demonic spirits that specialize in sickness. Now, I'm not saying every sickness is directly a demonic spirit, but this woman had apparently a direct demonic attack upon her body. She had a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of sickness. And notice what Jesus said, because they thought, well, he shouldn't be doing this on the Sabbath day out of their religion. He said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Jesus called that ailment, he called that sickness what? A bondage of Satan, didn't he? But remember 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo, untie, and loosen the works of the devil. Amen? Let's go to the next frame. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Everybody say healing. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word oppressed means to be held under the power of. And so here it says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit with power to go about, do good, and heal those who were under the power of the devil. That indicates that not only does God consider sickness a bondage, according to Luke chapter 18, but here it says that he considers sickness an oppression of the devil as well, doesn't he? What's 1 John 3:8 say? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo, loosen, untie the works of the devil. That includes sickness and disease. All right? Let's go to the next frame. Number five, Jesus healed all who were sick. Notice this now, this passage. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Next frame. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. You know, when you follow the ministry of Jesus, there's three things he did. He preached, he taught, and he healed, didn't he? He preached, he taught, and he healed. And so we need to understand, is the ministry of Jesus still supposed to be carried on today? He said in John 14:12, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father, didn't he? Amen. And so we've got to have our faith boosted in this area. We preach, teach, and minister healing in following and carrying out the ministry of Jesus. All right, next frame. Luke 4:40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That indicates that he laid his hands on every one of them and he healed every one of them. Isn't that right? You can't find a single scripture where someone came to Jesus for healing and he said no. Never. You'll never find any scripture where someone came to Jesus for healing and he said no. Let's go to the next frame. Number six. Jesus declared it to be the will of God to heal. In Matthew 8, 2 through 3, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, faith is not based. I know many of you have heard this. We need to be reminded of it, and some need to hear it for the very first time. Faith is not based in believing on God's ability. Anybody that believes in God will probably say God's able. In fact, that becomes a religious cliche, doesn't it? Oh, God's able. God's able. But you know, the leper here, he believed that Jesus was able. He said, you can make me clean, Lord, if you're willing. The thing that is the determining factor as to whether or not we receive that healing is not whether or not we believe he can, but whether we believe he will. And Jesus wills. You know, when you think about it, we understand in Hebrews, I believe it's the 10th chapter, speaking of Jesus, it says that he, in the volume of the book it is written of him, he's speaking here, and he says, to do thy will, O God. And you know, there's other scriptures that indicate the fact that Jesus was the walking will of God, wasn't he? He was the walking Word of God. We know He was the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John 1, 1 and 2. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Isn't that right? And so He was the Word. He was the will of the Father. He came to fulfill the will of God. And so He was the walking demonstration of the will of God in His preaching, in His teaching, in His healing, in His casting out demons, setting people free. That was a walking demonstration of the Father's will.
Amen. Amen.
Go on to the next frame. Number 7, Jesus sent out his disciples to heal the sick. In Matthew 10, 1 through 8, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And as you go, he said to them, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now notice now, he said that as they went out, what they were supposed to preach, as they demonstrated healing, as they demonstrated casting out of demons, he said, what you say to people is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he saying? He's saying healing is showing forth the kingdom of heaven. The power of God to set people free is a characteristic of the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, you preach and you tell them, as they're healed and delivered and set free, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here's the proof. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Next frame. Luke 10, 1 through 9. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. So it wasn't just the 12. 70 others also. And sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Same idea. The healing of the sick was indicative of the fact that the kingdom of God was near. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, you remember the word kingdom means the king's domain. The king's domain is what kingdom means. And so when he says the kingdom of God has come near you, he's saying the king's domain demonstrates healing. The king takes dominion over sickness and disease. And when we invoke the name and have faith in the name, in Jesus' name, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God manifests. Amen? Amen. Next frame. Are you getting anything out of this? Number 8, Jesus took our sicknesses in his body on the cross. This is Isaiah 53, 4. This is a prophetic word pertaining to the coming Messiah. Young's literal translation. It says this, surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he has carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is the great substitutionary prophetic word of the prophet Isaiah. And in that passage, it talks about the work of redemption. The fact that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And then with his stripes, we are healed. Prophetic word about the coming Messiah. He bore not only our sin, but he bore our sickness and he carried away our pain. Just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. This is what the Bible says. And anyone with an unbiased mind. will have to admit that this is true. Amen. It's just a fact. And you know, we want, it would be so easy, so much easier. And this is what had happened in the history of the church. Say, well, healing's not for today. Or God will heal some and not others. Or He's willing to heal some and not willing. It'd be so easy to say that, because then we don't have to come with an excuse as to why somebody didn't receive. But you know what? I don't understand it all, but I know one thing for sure. It's His will that every single believer be healed. It's His will. And it's upon, again, that platform, that plank of faith, that we will stand. We will stand. And I've used this illustration. You know, I used to, some of you, probably most of you don't even know that. When I was a teenager, I used to be in a rifle team. Did you know that? I earned the sharpshooter ranking in that. And you know, I always, and you'll do the same, whether it be bow and arrow, rifle, I always aimed for the bullseye. Do you know, it'd be foolish not to, wouldn't it? You always aim for the bullseye. You may not always hit it. Maybe you won't even hit it as much as you hit outside of it. But you always want to aim at the bullseye. And you know, regarding healing, I want to always aim for the best. I always want to aim for that bullseye of divine healing and health. Amen? I may hit an outer ring, or maybe I'll miss the paper altogether, but I'm still going to aim for the middle mark. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep aiming. Amen. And you know, the more you aim, the better you get. The more you shoot, the better off you are. Amen. Always aim for the bullseye. Going on with this. 1 Peter 2:24, it says concerning this from Isaiah 53, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Of course, you know, with Isaiah, he's looking forward. He says, by whose stripes you are healed. Peter's looking back at the cross and saying it in the past tense and saying, by the stripes of Jesus, you were already healed. And so, you know what? If we have sickness in our body and we say, by His stripes, I am healed, do you think we're lying about it? We can't be lying, because we're simply saying what God said, aren't we? You never lie when you say what God says. Right? Now, if you go around saying, I'm not sick, when you're sick, that's lying. You say, well, what are you talking about? You're calling something that is as though it isn't. And so you're lying. We're talking about speaking the Word of God. Nowhere does it say, God didn't say, you know, by His stripes you're not sick. He said, by His stripes you're healed. And so we want to speak faith. Faith means speaking the Word, because faith comes by hearing the Word, right? And so we're speaking God's truth, God's Word. And as we do, we build up faith in our heart, don't we? Amen? And we can't lie when we say what God says. Go to the next frame, if you would. Galatians 3:13 through 14. Christ has, past tense. Everybody say past tense. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Well, Christ has redeemed us. That means to be bought out of, to be paid for, out of the curse of the law. Now, if you go back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, everybody listening, Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with about verse 16 and on through the end of that chapter, it'll tell you the curse of the law. And if you read the curse of the law, you go through it, it'll name specific diseases. It'll name a number of things, not just diseases, anything that you would consider a curse. It names a ton of curses under the curse of the law. It includes specific diseases and sicknesses. It also says, just in case it missed any sickness or disease that's not written in this book of the law as well. And so it's covering every manner of sickness and disease. AIDS is not mentioned. It wasn't known of then, as far as we know. It wasn't mentioned, but it's covered. And Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which means every man of sickness and disease. You know, when you read that verse, those verses of Scripture, and you compare them with what the curse of the law is, there is no way around it. There is no way to argue against it. If Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and every sickness and every disease is part of the curse of the law, then you're redeemed from all of them. There's no way around it, no way to explain it away. The only thing theologians will do is they'll ignore it, and you can't ignore it. Galatians 3:13 and 14. Next frame. Number 9, the early church disciples healed the sick. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Going on. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Next frame. Acts 14, 8 through 10. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Next frame. Number 10. The promises of God provide many means for our healing. In Mark 16, 17 through 18, "And these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick, and they," the sick, "will recover." Next frame. Acts 14, 9 through 10. "This man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet.' And he leaped and walked." Next frame. Acts 19, 11 through 12, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. The disciples, the apostles, Paul was not even one of the original 12, not even amongst the 70, yet God used Paul as well to minister to the sick. Why? Because this is still the ministry of Jesus after his resurrection and ascension. He gave gifts unto men, didn't he? And basically said, "Occupy until I come." Next frame. James 5, 14 through 15. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." No getting around it, folks. This is New Testament, James 5, 14 and 15. The Lord said, He said that when we pray the prayer of faith and anoint with oil, this doesn't particularly say prayer of faith. Yes, it does. In verse 15, prayer of faith, anoint with oil, and the sick will be saved or made whole and healed. The Lord will. Everybody say, He will.
He will.
Is He willing? He's willing. He said He will raise him up. Next frame. Point number 11. Now you also believe in miracles. Point 11. God does not change. James 1:17 from the New Living Translation. "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." Next frame. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Now these 11 points, let me mention them one more time in closing. Number one, God's name is healer. Number two, God healed in Old Testament days. Number three, God promised healing through His prophets. Number four, the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Number five, Jesus healed all who were sick that came to Him, we should add. Number six, Jesus declared it to be the will of God to heal. Number seven, Jesus sent out His disciples to heal the sick. Number eight, Jesus took our sicknesses in His body on the cross. Number nine, the early church disciples healed the sick. Number 10, the promises of God provide many means for our healing. Those means are the laying on of hands and invoking the name of Jesus. Those means are the anointing of oil and praying the prayer of faith. Isn't that right? We could add the gifts of healings as well. There are various means. And the exercising of faith in the Word of God. Amen. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. He turned to her and he said, "Woman, be of good cheer. Your faith has healed you." Amen. And then number 11, God does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Say this with me. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I thank You, Father, that today I've heard the Word. And so therefore, faith is rising in my heart. My faith is strengthened in your word. I thank you that Jesus is anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and he still goes about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. I thank you, Father, that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might undo, untie, destroy the works of the devil. I thank you, Father, that surely Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and with his stripes I am healed. I thank you, Father, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come near my body. Any sickness and any disease that touches my body must go in Jesus' name. Any malfunction in my body must stop in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that Jesus is still the healer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in him is my healing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me and give him praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You bore our sickness. You bore our pain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. I'd like the worship team to come. Praise God. If you'd come up, praise God. And let's just keep our hearts and minds in tune to the Word and to the promises of God. And I want to invite you, if you're here today, you know the Scripture said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And so we're going to lay hands on you. We do have anointing oil. We could anoint you with oil. And if you request that, we'll do that. That's fine, but we don't have a lot of oil. But we still got hands that we can lay. The oil doesn't heal anybody. It's the prayer of faith that heals. Amen? And so as they begin to play and begin to sing, if you'd like hands laid on you and the name of Jesus invoked, we're going to believe the Word of God. Bible says if we're hearers and not doers, we deceive our own selves. Isn't that right? And so we want to be hearers and doers of the Word. Because when we're hearers and doers of the Word, the Bible says we'll be blessed in our work. Amen? Amen. And so if you'd like prayer, come now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kurabashana keche derabasi. Arabadarabakeshe brisa besa darabakeshe derabakeshe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Mario, would you come? Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.